Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Backheeled Show. My name is Joe Lowry, and on today's episode, we are diving into a handful of topics from around the American soccer landscape. We're going to talk about the U.S. men's national team's upcoming CONCACAF Nations League semifinal clash with Jamaica. That game will be happening on Thursday evening. We're going to chat about the NWSL's opening weekend, MLS action, and so much more. And we're going to do it all in less than 10 minutes, because here on the Backheeled Show, we believe that just because soccer games are 90 minutes long doesn't mean that soccer podcasts have to be. So without any further ado, let's get to the soccer. All right, folks, let's get into the U.S. men's national team's upcoming matchup with Jamaica in the CONCACAF Nations League semifinals. Either Mexico or Panama await the United States in either the final or the third place game. The U.S. has a chance with the Nations League to continue to solidify themselves as the dominant force in this region. They have won the only previous two ever versions of the Nations League here in CONCACAF. They will try to do that for the third consecutive time over the next week or so. Now, what should you be watching for in the United States game against Jamaica? Well, the first thing that I would pinpoint is how the U.S. looks in possession. Jamaica, under manager Heimar Hallgrimsson, are much more likely to defend deeper or in some sort of mid-block than they are to be super adventurous in possession. We've seen the U.S. matchup with Jamaica. We saw it at the Gold Cup last summer under Hallgrimsson, and that was the pattern of that particular game. The impetus will be on the U.S. to break Jamaica down. With that in mind, I'm curious to see how quickly and how much purpose will be behind the U.S.'s ball movement, both vertically and horizontally, as they try to shift that block and create opportunities to break the line, find the wingers in the half spaces, and look for cutbacks to the number nine inside the box. That's one thing I'm watching for during the game. The thing I'm watching for before the game even starts is, what are the decisions that Greg Berhalter makes in terms of his lineup? Does he start Gio Reyna, who is the one real lock picker in this USMNT pool right now, even though he hasn't been playing much for Forest and has been dealing with a little bit of a knock, according to reports coming out of England? What does Gio Reyna's minutes load look like? What does Tyler Adams' minutes load look like? Who starts next to Chris Richards in the middle of the U.S.'s back line? And do we see Johnny or Musa or a double pivot at the base of midfield for the U.S. men's national team? Or do we see Tyler Adams actually get a start in that spot, even though that would surprise me, especially in this semifinal? The final, if the U.S. gets there, could be a different story. It's up to Greg Berhalter to answer all of those questions heading into Thursday's game. But once the opening kickoff happens, I'm watching for how quick and purposeful and effective the USMNT's possession structure will be against Jamaica and how they deal with some big bodies coming at them the other way. We could see Mikel Antonio spearheading this Jamaica attack. They're going to be without some key players, including Leon Bailey, due to suspension or due to being suspended by Hallgrimsson. But Mikel Antonio is a lot to deal with, and he will be difficult for the U.S. to control as they shift from possession and rest defense into counter-pressing and trying to maintain field position. So I'm watching for the U.S. in possession. I'm watching for how they react to Jamaica's front line when they are out of possession. And, of course, for the lineup that Greg Berhalter opts for on Thursday. We'll have plenty more coverage of the CONCACAF Nations League Final Four over on Backheeled.com and here in the Backheeled Show feed over the coming days. For now, let's shift to the NWSL weekend that was. We were treated to an absolute banger of an opening game between the Kansas City Current and the Portland Thorns. A 5-4 season opening match between the Current and the Thorns. Absolutely unbelievable scenes from the brand new CPKC Park, 11,500 seats, a stadium built specifically for the Kansas City Current. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that in terms of starting a season. It really did feel like, between Kansas City and Bay FC now being in the league and them picking up their opening win against Angel City, between valuations for some of these teams as they're being sold, you know, it really has felt like over the last several days that there has been a bit of a turning of the tide in the NWSL as they continue to elevate their product both on and off the field. It was a genuinely enjoyable opening weekend of action in the NWSL. That Current Thorns game stole a lot of the spotlight, as it should. Alex Pfeiffer for the Kansas City Current became the youngest goal scorer in NWSL regular season history. The Thorns, for their part, had some joy in the attack, but looked real, real sluggish in the first 30 minutes of this game. They were down 3-0 by the 34th minute. Bia for Kansas City looking good, getting that third goal to basically put this game out of reach, even though Portland tried to do everything they could to get back into it. For me, this game, for the Thorns at least, was a reminder of how different teams might look in week one. than they would a month or 2 months or 6 months into the season. Some of these players away on international duty directly before the regular season started, you know, didn't have a lot of time in training. That certainly applies to several Portland Thorns players. They did find a little bit of their groove as the game wore on, but the defense was not sharp, and the attack was real sluggish to open this match. I'm fascinated to see how the Thorns are going to rebound and to see if the Current look more like we thought the Current were going to look last year before the injury bug sunk its teeth right into Kansas City. Looking around the rest of the league, the North Carolina Courage pick up a massive 5-1 win at home against the Houston Dash. They really blew the doors off of Fred Alonso's team. The Dash did not look threatening at basically any point in this game. The Courage, with Ashley Sanchez and Brianna Pinto sort of starting as a front two, a pseudo front two, and what was at times a 4-triple-2 for head coach Sean Nejas, they looked sharp, and Ashley Sanchez was contributing in the final third. Doesn't end up on the score sheet, but helped build a lot of those attacks in the attacking half in the Dash's own defensive third as well. There's a lot of season left to be played, but the big question about the Courage coming into this year was, would they have enough attacking firepower without Caroline, who won the MVP award last year, to be a real legitimate threat? And so far, so good for North Carolina. The last thing I want to look at quickly in the NWSL is the expansion teams. Utah Royals dropped their first match of the year 2-0 to the Chicago Red Stars, and Bay FC took care of business against Angel City FC in their first ever game in the NWSL. I thought Utah, weirdly, was the better team against Chicago, and I thought Bay FC was probably the slightly worse team against Angel City, but them's the breaks. It's hard to read a ton into that Utah result, both because the Utah Royals are just finding their footing, and also because I don't expect a lot from Chicago this season. So it looked to me like a battle of two teams that are not likely to be particularly high up the table in the NWSL. And of course, it's important to give these expansion teams time. Still, I thought Utah did a fairly good job of controlling that game. We'll watch plenty more of them as the season goes on. And sort of the opposite for Bay FC. They did not control this match, just 41% possession, although they do pick up an early goal, so that game state sways things a bit. Albertine Montoya said after the game, you know, we didn't exactly play how we want to play. This Bay FC team would like to have more control than they did, but they are able to scrape through with 3 points in their first ever match. Finally, let's close out with some of the latest from around Major League Soccer. The quick hits for me from this weekend: Atlanta United look scary. Joseph Painsil is maybe an MVP candidate, or at least he would be. If Lionel Messi wasn't in the league, he has been absolutely absurd so far this year. Coco Carrasquilla cannot be stopped in that right half space for the Houston Dynamo. NYCFC get a much needed win against Toronto FC. They can finally start to get a little bit of mojo cooking and to see their talent level match their actual performance and points tally. LAFC need another attacker on the field, but it was a good start to life for Eric Ramsey and Minnesota United. Seattle need to get healthy. I liked Chris Armas' back five in defense against the Sounders for Colorado to pick up a point on the road. Kellen Acosta is thanking Mother Nature because that goal against Montreal in second half stoppage time was ridiculous, and the Columbus Crew look stupid good. Much more to get to from around MLS and around American soccer. That's why you should go check out backheel.com, where we have coverage of every single MLS team, every USL Championship team. We've got every NWSL team coming up later on this week, along with US Open Cup coverage, national team coverage, and so much more. Go check out the site and subscribe. For now, we'll talk to you again real soon.